I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, this is lesson number 27 on that subject of destructive behavior. 3 John, and there's only one chapter there. 3 John, find verse number 9. 3 John, verse number 9. And if you'll stand with me, I'm going to read two or three verses here out loud, and you can follow along silently. 3 John chapter 9, the Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating about us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Tonight, the lesson is the first of two lessons. It's kind of a two-part lesson. I'm going to call it Church Destroyers. Church destroyers. You know, there are certain kinds of behavior and certain kinds of people that can get into a church and really hurt a church. Now, they're not going to destroy the New Testament church itself, but if I may, they can be very destructive while in it. And we're going to talk about church destroyers, part one this week and part two next week. Let me pray for us. Lord, bless us and help us. God, we want our church to be strong and safe, and might we not be guilty of the behavior that will be discussed tonight. And then, Father, if ever there is someone guilty, help our minds to come back to a sermon like this, a sermon of warning, a sermon of caution, so that we would understand what to do and how to handle ourselves. Thank you for our New Testament church. Father, help us to love it and help us to do right by it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Tonight's sermon is a preventive maintenance type of a sermon. Our church is strong and our church is unified. In this sermon, I'm not trying to fix any existing problem. I'm just going to teach us so that problems don't exist that could exist. The best time in the world to deal with these type things is when you don't have the problem. Boy, you know, if you had a problem setting in your church and you go to teach on it, you just inflame it. Now, sometimes you have to, but we don't have a problem. And we're a unified church and a happy church, and everybody seems to be getting along just fine. So it's a good time to teach on this. Lesson number 27, Church Destroyers. Now, 3 John is a letter written from John to the church and a group of people in the church. It's written actually about three men in the church. We had a Sunday school lesson somewhat akin to what I'll say in the introduction tonight, where we talked about the book of 3 John and the three men that are discussed. Again, there are three men that basically are what the message or the letter called 3 John is about. A man by the name of Gaius. He was a man who was spiritually healthy, but he was physically sick. In verse number 2 in this book, this is what it says about Gaius. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So here's a guy, he's a good guy, his body is sick, but spiritually he's very healthy. And what John says to him, he said, boy, I wish your body was as healthy as you are healthy spiritually. Now, some of you don't want to wish that. You'd be crippled overnight because you're far healthier physically than you even attempt to be spiritually. But what a compliment. It was a great compliment for John to give this man by the name of Gaius. So the first man that's mentioned in this book or this letter is Gaius. Then the next is a guy by the name of Demetrius. He was a man who was loved. He was a man that he loved the truth and he obeyed the truth. He had an excellent testimony among the people. And in verse number 12, it says this, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So now John's mentioned a couple of different people. One man who's not well, but he's well spiritually, he's just not well physically. Another man named Demetrius. He's got an excellent testimony among the people. He's got an excellent testimony about believing and living the truth. Then we come to the third man. And as you can see, by process of elimination, if there are two that were doing well, there's one here that's not doing so well. His name is Diotrephes. He's what you'd call the church troublemaker. He's the church trouble creator. It is he about whom the text refers tonight, what we read there in verses 9 through 11, where it said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And it goes on. That whole introduction of Scripture is about Diotrephes. That is where we'll launch for the sermon tonight. Now, in 3 John verse number 9, speaking of Diotrephes, it says this, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So Diotrephes, he loves to have preeminence among them. In other words, he loved attention, and he worked at getting it. Now, there's a pride issue involved in that statement right there. He wanted to be lifted up. He wanted leadership, he wanted power, and he wanted control. And it wasn't that he wanted the leadership of something over which he's supposed to have leadership. He wanted leadership in areas where he wasn't supposed to have leadership. So we see that he loveth to have preeminence among them. Then it goes on, and John says about Diotrephes, he receiveth us not. He would not follow the man of God. He rejected the church leadership because he wanted to be in charge. So here we see he wants preeminence. He's got some pride in him. He wasn't a good follower. He would not receive the leadership. He would not receive the leaders of the church. He was probably inwardly jealous and covetous in regard to the leaders and even the pastor to some degree. Then you get to verse number 10. It says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now, still talking about this man that has a bad attitude, and he's hurting the church. And it says this, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. Now, so here, there's evidently a list of deeds, and these aren't good deeds. This is a list of wrongs that he's done. It's not a one-time display of rebellion. He's got a track record. This is how he is. So then it uses the words Diotrephes. It talks about him prating against us. That word prating is just equal to foolish talking. Being foolish in his talk. Now you understand the opposite of a fool is a wise person. The opposite of foolish talking would be wise talking. And so though this doesn't have a lot of teeth to it, when you say prating, this guy's, he's being the fool. That's basically what that means. So it said there's a list of evil deeds. He wants to have power. He wants preeminence. He rejects leadership. Then it uses the word malicious words. And malicious words are words that have malice in them. In other words, they're words with the intent to hurt. Words with intent to hurt. And then it goes on and says he's not content. In other words, you can't satisfy him. He wants something that he can't have, and if he can't have it, he's going to be unsatisfied. I think when it's talking about him being not content, he's unsatisfied with the leaders. He's unsatisfied with the decisions that are being made around the church. So I hope you're getting the picture. You've got this one guy by the name of Gaius. Gaius is not well physically, but he is very healthy spiritually. And it is even said, boy, we wish you were as physically healthy as you are spiritually healthy. What a compliment. Then you go to Demetrius. He was a man that loved the truth. He was loved and respected by everybody because he lived the truth. Then you get to Diotrephes. Diotrephes, he's got pride. He wants everybody to see him. He wants lifted up. He wouldn't receive the leadership, neither the pastor or the appointed leaders of the church. There was a jealousy about him. It is even said that there are a list of deeds that he is doing, and we're keeping track because it is a repetitive misbehavior. He talking foolishly or prating. He is malicious and hurtful with his words. He's a man that's not content. Then it goes on to say, it says, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. So now here's a guy that's in the church, and he rejects what I would say the loyal, good members. He's rejecting of them. He's not real receiving of the congregation. Gaius, the guy that's not well physically but well spiritually, Diotrephes doesn't like him. Diotrephes rejects Demetrius, and those are the two that we know of that are listed here. Here's a man that is rejectful, and remember, he's using malicious words. He's never satisfied with who? The spiritual leadership in the church, the loyal, dedicated people in the church. He's always got a gripe. Nothing's ever right. Nothing ever satisfies him. Then it says, and forbiddeth them that would. In other words, you say, would what? Well, the ones that would be content, that would spread wise words instead of prating or foolish words, the one that would support the leadership, the one that did love the church, the one that did obey, or the ones that are obeying, that people have the good attitude, it says, and forbiddeth them that would. So he is the exact opposite of the kind of church members that we ought to want to be. Then it says, and casteth them out of the church. Say, what does that mean? It means his attitude and the way he acts is so bad. There are some people say, I'm not going to church there. I can't stand to be around that guy. He comes around, he wants to gossip and talk bad, and he doesn't like the pastor, and he doesn't like the church, and he doesn't like what's going on, and he casteth them out. And it's almost like the word driving them out. His words of disunity and his disloyalty, and he's chasing good people away from him, even to the point where they don't even want to come to church. Decent people leave this church because of his malicious behavior, whether it's against the pastor. And in this story, it was because he was rejecting the pastor and then rejecting the other leaders of the church and rejecting those that were loyal to the Word of God. Then you get to verse 11. This guy Diotrephes, he's not looking real good on paper. You get to verse 11 and it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Now, let me explain. You understand that in verse number 9 and verse number 10, we were talking about Diotrephes. Now, this isn't just a blank statement. Don't follow that which is evil. This is in reference to that which is evil, which was just described in the two verses prior. It says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. In other words, he doesn't see it God's way, and he's not connected to God, and he doesn't have his eyes on God. But it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. Good people, God is saying, good people should not let him influence them. Now, remember this. Evil and sin are a bit different, okay? And here it's talking about the word evil. Sin is when we break the laws of God, but evil's a little different. It's someone who's hurting others. And in this case, hurting others and pulling others in to disloyalty, if you will, or into the chaos. Look, if you have a gripe and it's your gripe, keep your gripe to yourself, but you become evil when you start to spread your gripes around. That's influencing. That's spreading the poison. And God said, beloved, follow not that which is evil. Now, I don't need to change the scripture, nor do I want to, but that could be said, beloved, don't follow him which is evil. That's what's being described here. It said, don't follow him. Don't follow his example. Matter of fact, you ought to separate. Look, you don't want that kind of attitude to be around you. Now, with all that in mind, remember this. The devil hates God. The devil hates God's book. The devil hates God's work. I think the devil hates churches that stand for right and stand for the book and stand for the old time ways. I think the devil hates preachers and leaders who stand against wrong and stand for what's right. The devil then comes along and influences people to hurt those kinds of churches. And he influences people to hurt those kinds of leaders and even those kinds of preachers. The devil influences people to hurt the right kinds of churches and the right kinds of leaders. Now listen, evil people from without the church can do some damage to the church. Oh my. But evil people inside the church can do a lot of damage from the inside. You know, when they're shooting at a good church from the outside, we've got a unity and a protection and a solidity on the inside. But I'll tell you what, you get that evil and that nasty and that negative and that griping and that complaining, and you get all that on the inside, wow, that's an easy way to cause the old walls to come tumbling down. Those kind of people will destroy themselves. They can destroy the influence to some degree of a church, but they would be used like a tool of the devil. You know, the devil is so smart, he can actually convince evil people that are actually hurting their church, he can convince them that they're doing God a favor. He actually convinced them of that. I listen to this verse. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Listen to this. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Here it says that the devil can influence people. Hey, the devil's smart enough to make himself look good to people. Don't you think then that those that are influenced by him, that they can make themselves look as if they're religious or trying to do a favor to God? But he says here that these are false apostles and false deceitful workers. Third John is basically a letter where the man of God is warning the church and a church that he loves to be careful, because there are some people that will destroy parts of the church, destroy the church influence. Now, I really believe those that hurt the New Testament church, they're going to self-destruct. But they will, they can hurt people and they can destroy parts of the church. Now I want to do the same thing John did. John said, now there's three people here in the church, and these two guys are good guys, and this one over here, Diotrephes, boy, his behavior is just terrible. And John was trying to help a church to be cautious so that they were not hurt. Let me tell you again, we don't have any problems. Now we've got the devil mad at us, but within our church we have a unique unity. And we've got a wonderful, wonderful spirit here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take, you know, I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm 57 years of age. For 41 years, I've been preaching the gospel. I've been a lot of places and been in a lot of churches. What I want to do, very simply, I'm going to make some observations tonight of the kinds of people who can tend to mess up a church. The kinds of people that could destroy, if you will, the right atmosphere in a church, destroy the influence of a church, destroy some of the ministries of a church. So, if you'll listen to me, I'm just going to give you, and I'll tell you about five or six different elements or behaviors or type people tonight, and then we'll do another half a dozen of them or so next week and complete the lesson. Okay, number one, and these are the kinds of people that if not careful, they could come into a church and be destructive. Number one, church hopping troublemakers. In Genesis 49, verse number 4, it uses these words, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." It was speaking of someone, said they were unstable. Listen, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget. When I was in a little church where I grew up, we just struggled to keep moving forward. And boy, I remember one Sunday, I was standing in the back door with the men that were greeters, and a van load of people pulled up, and it, y'all remember the old conversion vans, the big ones with fancy stuff painted on the side? And boy, we watched a dad get out of that van and a mom get out of that van and five or six little kids get out of that van. And hey, everybody, all those boys, they had little ties on. The girls were all modestly dressed with a cute little skirts and everything, and everybody had a Bible in their arms. And I thought, wow, there was enough people in that one van to double the size of our church. I was so excited. Look at it. I wonder who those visitors are. And they popped the door open. And one of the men at the back door shook the hand of the dad and said, "Boy, we're glad to see you this morning. Are you just passing through the area?" And the guy said, "No, we're looking for a church." And I thought, ha, ha, look at that. God brought us a whole van full of people. Well, we went through the church service, and I'll never forget this. The church service was over with, and my pastor had been on vacation the week before, and he had gone to another good fundamental Baptist church in our county. And after church, I said, "Preacher, did you see that family?" He said, "Yeah, I seen him this week. Seen him last week. I was on vacation too at another church." He said, and the pastor said that they'd been in about every church in the county. He said, "Not everything that looks good is good." And they came to our church a couple times, and it didn't take them but three services before that the man, the dad, was standing at the back door complaining about things at our church. He only been there three times. And I thought, my pastor's a pretty smart guy. See, I was pumped. I thought, this guy, he's our Savior. They're bringing people, new ones. We've never seen them before. They're already cleaned up. They don't need any work. And I was so pumped. My pastor was so afraid. And to be very honest with you, within a handful of services where I wanted to be right where that action was, I was stepping away. I didn't want to be able to be around the people. I thought, oh my. You know what? They caused problems in their last church, and they'll probably cause problems in the next church. Now listen, there are people that will leave a church and leave it the right way. Not all changes are bad. There are places where they leave a church and they left on good terms with the pastor, and they didn't try to split the church, and they weren't attacking everybody on their way out, and they didn't try to take other people with them. And sometimes there are valid reasons to leave a church. I think sometimes pastors get off doctrinally. I think pastors and churches lose their standards, and before long, you've got a mess on your hands. And I think there are changes that are necessary. But church hoppers that are troublemakers, they were at that last church, and that church had problems, and that pastor had problems, so they left. What they don't realize is they were the problem. They were the problem. So, you know what happens? If somebody leaves a church and they are the problem and they go to a new church, guess what just joined the church? The problem. The problem. I was talking to a guy, and I've used this illustration before, but I was talking to a man, and he about his jobs. And every time, this guy had about 8 or 9 jobs in about 3 years. And he would come and see me, and he would say this to me. He would say, "Brother Owens, I'm working for this guy, and he's just impossible to work for." 6 weeks later, he has a new job. And we'd sit there, and he'd say, "I got this job. These people I work with, this new group that I'm working with, they're impossible to get along with." About 6 weeks later, we're talking again. He said, "This new job, the benefits and the pay, it's ridiculous. How could anybody live off of it?" So he leaves that job. You know what he's not noticing? There's a common denominator in all of this. It's him. And folks, I got to tell you, there are people that they're all over the place, and they're somewhere in the church for a little while, and it doesn't work out, but there's got to be something wrong with that church, because it surely can't be us. My, oh, my, oh, my. And they can get in a church and cause chaos, and they just drag their negatives right into that church. So many times there's pride. Look, they can look so good on the surface. You say, why? They've got a lot of training. They've been in a lot of places. But let's you and I make sure that we're not like that. And look, if anybody like that ever joins our church, of course, everybody's given a chance. But you just be careful. Don't let people like that destroy your attitude. So, like John said, he said, boy, Gaius, a good guy, and Demetrius, a good guy. But this Diotrephes, you better watch out because he's a church troublemaker. And John knew a few things about church, and he knew a few things about how to handle the church. And he was teaching about people, an attitude that can destroy much of what I want to do tonight. I want to just show you some of the things to be careful of. So we don't want our church destroyed. We want it strong. Number two. What's some attitude? What's a kind of person that could destroy a church? I think when church leaders become disloyal, you know, thank God, I don't know of any problem that we have with this sort of thing here at our church. But when someone in the church leadership becomes disloyal, they become very, very destructive. And here's what's bad about it. They've been given the privilege of winning the hearts of the people by being put into a leadership position. And if they then, after having been given the privilege of winning the hearts of the people around them, if they then take those people and then try to turn them on the church or turn them on the Lord or turn them on the pastor, to me, that's crooked. That's crooked. Nothing's more disgusting to me than when a leader who, you know, someone comes to the church and they have no influence in the church at all, but the pastor gives them a position and it's got some authority to it and it's got some influence to it. They came with nothing. The pastor trusts them with the people. So they win the people to themselves and then they turn those people on the pastor. Now, what right would someone have to go into a local New Testament church and do that? You know what? When Mrs. Owens and I lived in West Virginia, she had a dog. And the dog's name was Pupcake. And I got to tell you something. Pupcake loved Mrs. Owens. Pupcake was loyal to Mrs. Owens. Do you know that even an old dog knows how to be loyal? Even an old dog knows how to be loyal. Now, Pupcake might bite you, but Pupcake wouldn't bite Mrs. Owens. She loved her. And Mrs. Owens loved Pupcake. Pupcake was well cared for. Listen, I've watched decent folks in leadership mess up by letting that leadership go to their head, and before long, they're going against the program. And the thing is, remember, the leadership that was granted to them was granted to them by the pastor or the church leadership. So here they are using what was entrusted to them against the one that entrusted them. So be careful. There's some destructive behaviors and that could destroy the spirit of a church. Troublemakers, church hoppers that are troublemakers. Leaders that become disloyal. Listen to this next one. Number three, strong leaders in the church who won't follow. The third attitude, strong leaders in the church who won't follow. In James chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. It says, and he will lift you up. Diotrephes was a strong-willed leader, but he wouldn't follow. Now, I happen to believe that Demetrius was a strong leader. But he would follow. He was submissive. You see, I think churches need strong leaders, but they don't need strong leaders that will let it go to their head, and then they create chaos in the church. Let me tell you where we'll have to be careful. A businessman can come into a church, and he's used to being in charge. He's used to, you know, having his way. So a businessman can come into a church and he somehow can't follow while he's at church. And then if they're not careful, they'll use their money. They'll use their winsome ways. They've got leadership. They wouldn't be succeeding in business. But before long, they're causing trouble in the church because they are very strong, but they're not submissive in the church. Now, I don't say this because I'm Jeff Owens. I say this because I'm the pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church of New Bern, North Carolina. You have to understand, I give answer to God for what goes on at this church. The congregation, we all work together as a team, and I love you and you love me, but you do understand the buck stops at my desk when it comes to the responsibility of this New Testament church. And so what can happen is, and probably some of you have seen it before, a very strong personality businessman can come to a church and he doesn't really know how to follow, so he gets in there and before long he's griping, he's complaining, and he wants the church to be ran more like his business and maybe less like a church, and he's never pastored three people in his life. He doesn't really know what it takes, that the people that work for him get a paycheck and he can fire them. How do you fire church members? Somebody tell me how, because I got a couple that are goners, man. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I'll tell you all this, and I hope this guy doesn't figure out who he is, but I know a very successful businessman that said to me before, he said, I've been thinking about moving to your church, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord. He doesn't get along with anybody. He's successful, and it's always his way or the highway, his way or the highway. And I'll be talking to him and say, I got this manager that works for me the other day, and I told him, Brother Owens, it's my way or the highway. I own this joint. And then he said, the other day, I was talking to one of the drivers that worked for me, and I told him, it's my way or the highway. And I'm thinking, he's coming to the church, and the next thing I'm going to hear is, Owens, it's my way or the highway. Hit the road, Jack. He just doesn't know how to control it. So strong leaders who won't follow could destroy an atmosphere in a church. I thank God we've got some very strong leaders in our church. But when it's their turn to lead, they'll step up and lead. But praise God, when it's their time to follow, they follow. And I thank God for that. Strong leaders that don't know how to follow. Military personnel can be that way. You say, what? Well, they've been trained to lead. Now, I've had a lot of military men work with me that, boy, they understood. They understood when to lead and when to follow. And I thank God for it. We have some right now in our church, very strong leaders. But they're submissive when it's time to be submissive. But I've dealt with a few. Whew. I'm thinking, I need to take this boy behind the barracks. That's strong. Hey, and this will make sense to you. The more rank that they have accomplished, sometimes the harder it is to get them to follow. You know what, Brother Steed? I can't tell you how many times I've had men, their rank is private or they're fresh out of boot camp. I love it. They come to church. They come to church and I'll say, how you doing? He said, doing fine, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm thinking, well, I'm just a pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Where do you want to sit? Wherever you tell me sit, sir. Sir. They broke them down. They know how to follow. But boy, you don't salute a guy that's got some bars on his shoulder, you're in trouble. And then sometimes they'll bring it to the church. And they go, well, I've been trained to take over the world. Okay, but this is my church. You're not going to take over my church. So you know, and I love America, and thank God for our military. But military rank means nothing at my church. Sorry. Now, I respect you, but it means nothing. So strong businessmen can come in, and if they don't learn how to follow, they can create chaos and military personnel. Ex-pastors, they come into a church, and they still have pastor in them, and they want to run the church. Now, thank the Lord. Preacher Kroom pastored this church for years. He and I get along great. He follows, and you know what? I respect him. He respects me, and we get along fine. But I could not tell you how many churches in America an ex-pastor is sitting in the pews and just can't keep his mouth shut and won't let the other man, the pastor, lead. I can't use the name, but I called a man, and if I mentioned his name, 90% of you would know who he is. We would call him one of the giants of the last generation. He had given up his church, and a man that he had mentored was coming in to be the pastor. And it lasted about 6 months because the old pastor couldn't keep his mouth shut or his nose out of the new pastor's business as he's pastoring the church. And before long, the new young pastor said, I've had it. Fooey on this mess. You want your church back, buddy? Take it. But I'm not going to live here under your constant microscope. Well, I talked to the older pastor, and we were discussing an issue somewhat like this. And he said, Brother Owens, he said, listen to me. I messed up terribly. I groomed a young man to take the work over, and I made the mistake of my life. I couldn't let go. I should have let go, and I didn't let go, and now I lost a mentored young man that could have taken my church to the next generation, and I have a mess on my hands. And I don't want the mess back. But I wouldn't have put up with what he put up with while I was sitting out there passing judgment on him. So strong leaders that come into a church, if they're not careful and they don't know when to follow, whether they're businessmen or military personnel or ex-pastors, men who used to pastor that have retired. And listen, anybody that's ever been in full-time ministry somewhere, you've got to be careful because there's one pastor of the New Testament church. And I never really asked for the job. It came upon me, and I'm glad to do what I'm supposed to do, but it's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do. Laymen who, in regard to this strong leadership, even a layman who's maybe their leadership is going to their head, deacons, I thank God for my deacons. My deacons, they have servants' hearts. I had a pastor just call me on Tuesday. He said, Brother Owens, I do not know what to do. He said, I have a deacon in my church, and he thinks it's his job to run me. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, have you tried to discuss it with him? He said, I've tried to discuss it with him, and he is arrogant, and he tells me that I don't know what I'm doing. That's sad. I said, you understand a deacon's a servant. A deacon's a servant. And again, I thank God for our deacons. We get along fantastic. We serve the Lord together. I want to serve them. They want to serve me. But they also know this. I'm the pastor. This is not a board-run church. I think it's a God-run church. And God said, okay, pastor, you know, the buck stops at your office, at your desk. Fine. We get along just fine. Hey, deacons can get that way. Adult Sunday school teachers can get that way. You give someone an adult Sunday school class, and before long, they've forgotten who gave them the class, and before long, they've got their little group, and that little group separates themselves away from the rest of the church, and they become a little clique, and they become an entity on their own. That's very destructive. And before long, they're pulling people away from the pastoral leadership in the church instead of pushing people toward the pastoral leadership, and that's a disloyalty, and that turns into a mess. And we don't have that problem. To be honest, I've pastored two churches, and in neither one of my churches do I ever remember having an adult Sunday school teacher that ever became disloyal and drew people away. And for that, I am very, very grateful. You say, well, Pastor, what would you do if an adult Sunday school teacher did that? I'd fire him. Strong people can be a great blessing to a church, or a great curse to the church. Now, I'm glad I've got a lot of strong-willed men in my church, and a little handful of women too. So, you got to learn how to handle it. I'm not. Hey, listen. One part about it is, and thank God for this. I've had some good training. It has nothing to do with who or what I am, but I've had some good training. I'm not intimidated by strong leadership. I don't mind. Hey, I'll cut you off a chunk of territory and tell you to take off running for the Lord and get everything you can done. I don't have to have credit for everything that happens, but I am responsible for the New Testament church, and I have to keep things under control and know what's going on. But let me remind you, strong leaders who won't submit can become destructive in a New Testament church. Church leaders that become disloyal can become destructive. Church hopping troublemakers, those are people that just can't be satisfied. They're everywhere. Let me go on. Number four, position seekers. And especially position seekers who have been offended. The Bible says in Psalm 75:7, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Folks, I'll remind all of us of something. In the world, you might have to push for position and push to go forward. In the church, there's supposed to be a humble servant attitude. We're different. We think differently than the world. And you know, I know it's hard. You got to go out there and make it happen. You got to shake the tree. Hey, when you're out there, there's a certain amount of you got to sell yourself to move forward. I understand that. In the church, God said, you don't need to sell yourself. Matter of fact, he said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And if you all learn that, I got to tell you, when I first started out and I got into the church, man, my parents taught me, get the job done. Make it happen. And I remember hearing things like, if you don't toot your own horn, who's going to toot it? So I'm in the church and I'm sincerely saying, I want to do something for God. Pastor, how about me? I can outrun him. I can build a bigger Sunday school class than him. And my pastor's going, wow, this kid, he just tells you what he's thinking. Hey, I'll take that bus route. Matter of fact, I'll take them both. My pastor used to meet with me and he'd say, Jeff, you shouldn't talk like that. I said, but that's what I'm thinking. He said, you're going to have to learn some humility and you're going to have to knock off the pride. And he had some very strong conversations with me. He said, it doesn't work that way in the church. He said, you let God promote you. God will notice you. Just work hard. Do what you're supposed to do. Have a good attitude. Boy, I had to make an adjustment. And folks, any of us, we're out in the world where it's a dog-eat-dog world and you're trying to make it happen. And you see that's a part of what you do out there. And I really don't think we're supposed to totally be like them anyway, even though it takes a little bit of it. But when you come to the church, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Be careful seeking position. You say, well, what should I seek, Pastor? Just seek to serve. Just seek to serve. I had a very capable man from our church sitting in my office just a few days ago. Very capable. Well-educated, very capable. And he said this. He said, Pastor, I don't need any attention. Nobody needs to know what I do. He said, give me any job you want. I just want to serve. And I'm talking about a very capable person. More educated than most all of us put together. That's what God's looking for. God will take that and use that. Now, people, let me tell you, position seekers, that can cause you some grief in a church because they want something, and if they don't get it, then bad attitudes can develop. So, and especially if there was a particular position they wanted and they didn't get it. So they get offended and they become angry or they become bitter. And then here's what will happen. Okay, you wanted to be the bus captain, and you didn't get chosen to be the bus captain. Now you're upset about it. You're mad about it. So you're not going to be good to the guy that was chosen as bus captain because he got the position you want. Then you're not going to be good to the guy that chose that bus captain. You say, who's that? And moi. And you know what that is? That's covetousness. You coveted something. You didn't get it. Now you're mad at the person that has it. And you're mad at the person that gave it to them. And boy, that can cause a mess. You wanted to be a Sunday school teacher, but you were bypassed. You wanted to be a bus captain, but you were bypassed. You wanted to be a deacon, but you were bypassed. Some teenager, you wanted to sing in a particular group, but you got bypassed. Hey, maybe nobody knows it, but it was your desire and a secret desire of your heart. If you're not careful, that position seeking and then that slight non-intended rejection can cause you to get a bad attitude, and it can become very destructive in a church. Here's what I've discovered. If you got bypassed and then you develop an evil attitude because you got bypassed, I guess I did the right thing, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
You proved that the decision was a good one. What it ought to happen is if you got bypassed, if you're such hot stuff, it shouldn't be long. I'll be regretting not picking you. But if I say, well, I'm really glad I didn't pick that one. What a jerk. You're proving something about yourself. So Position seekers can be destructive, especially if they don't get their position. Strong leaders who won't follow. Church leaders who become disloyal. And church hoppers, and they just go around causing trouble. Let me go on. Let me see. I'll cover maybe another one or two. Bitter people. Bitter people. The Bible talks about someone with a wounded spirit, and that wounded spirit can develop into bitterness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, and a big long list of emotions said, be put away from you. Be careful, folks. Bitterness climbs, if it gets into your heart and gets into your attitude, it becomes very, very destructive. Oh, again, maybe a position seeker didn't get a position, and that rejection that they felt turns into bitterness. Someone, you feel like your child was mishandled somewhere in the church. If you're not careful, that can turn into bitterness. And let me explain something to all of you about that. I think everybody that tries to help our children, that works in all of our children's ministries, I think they're very, very sincere. But every once in a while, it might be that a child didn't get the attention they needed, or maybe something wasn't handled exactly right. Don't become bitter about that. You say, why not, Pastor? Well, I'd like to figure out how many times you've shortchanged your child. How many times have you been rude to them? How many times have you been a bad example to them? Maybe we ought to take them away from you. Maybe we should all be bitter at you. I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? But listen, we don't have anybody that works in the teen ministry or the children's ministry or that out to hurt anybody's children. We're all here to help. But every once in a while, we may make a mistake. Your child's piece of pie, was it a little smaller than somebody else's piece of pie? We didn't mean to do that to them, but we weren't trying to hurt them. Someone doesn't get what they want. They're bitter because maybe, hey, and listen, I've watched this happen. I've watched people that maybe got hurt in another church and became bitter. Then they come to a church where nobody's ever hurt them, but they drag their bitterness with them. Be careful. Their last pastor hurt them, and they're bitter with him, so all pastors are dirtballs. I'll never trust another pastor. You ever have a flat tire? Did you decide that you'd never have another tire? I'll never have another tire. You ever have a toothache? I'll never have another tooth. I've had it. All leaders can't be trusted. Listen. I actually think there are people who are just bitter in life. They're just bitter in life. Boy, if you didn't give them something to be bitter about, they'll create something. And they can't leave it in the past. They're just bitter. Bitter people, there's a poison around that. And if it's not treated with the Scripture, and if they don't heal, it becomes contagious and bitterness spreads. So, be careful. Bitterness is a destructive behavior in a local New Testament church. One more, and then we'll get some prayer requests. Backslidden leaders can become very, very destructive. In Jeremiah 14:7, it says, our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee, O Lord. Folks, if you hold any position in the church at all, guard yourself from becoming backslidden. Remember, when you were recruited into leadership, you and I sat down and I talked to you and I told you, you know, there's some expectations and you got to be in church and read your Bible and walk with God. And depending on what level you were brought in, there were other expectations about the way to dress and the way to act and the way to handle yourself. But you know what happens? If you go getting yourself backslidden and you stop doing what you promised you would do, you were given the position because you promised to behave at a certain level. So I don't put you in the position and then hope you'll live right. We expect you to be living right. Then you're put in the position. Now, you go getting yourself backslidden while you're in that position. That was never intended. I know, everybody's going to have a rough day. You're going to have some rough times. And I don't expect people are going to be perfect. I don't expect that at all. But don't you let yourself get backslidden and stay there. Don't stay there. That can be very, very destructive to a ministry. Don't be a backslidden deacon or a backslidden deacon's wife or a backslidden Sunday school teacher or a backslidden bus captain. Listen, Brother Earl, I've seen this happen. I know people that were called to the mission field when they were younger and they never went, and they've been troubling the church ever since. Yeah. They ought to be in the Philippines as a missionary. God did call them, but they never went. And they've always had a little part of them that's just not right with God. That little part of them is backslidden. I've watched this. There are some people that wish they could pastor, but they can't. So they want to pastor my church. I've watched it time and time again. I should have been pastor. I should have been in charge. But maybe you just qualified yourself or you're not. Well, go get you your own. This one's mine. I need the paycheck, man. But backslidden leaders can cause grief. They can cause grief in a church. That's why we all want to keep ourselves from being backslidden. Okay, so John writes this letter to the church. He says, Gaius is a good guy. Demetrius is a good guy. Diotrephes is a troublemaker. And he's warning the church about those that are self-destructive and would destroy the New Testament church. I come to you and say, I've examined it. I see some of it. I've seen it over the years in the ministry. Church hoppers that can't be satisfied can come into a church and cause chaos. Church leaders that become disloyal, that's destructive. Strong leaders who won't follow when it's time to follow can become destructive. Position seekers, especially position seekers who have been offended, can become destructive. Bitter people can become destructive. And then backslidden leaders. Next week, our very first point will be on the subject of evil people. Let's be careful. We don't want our New Testament church to be damaged or destroyed. And I'm not asking everyone to investigate each other, but do keep an eye on yourself. That's what we need to do. Let's just keep an eye on ourselves to make sure we're not having the wrong kind of behavior. All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. Would you say, Pastor, I've been challenged. We've laughed a little bit tonight, but boy, I see it. I see the practicality of the teaching, and I will take it as a personal challenge to keep an eye on me to make sure that I'm not destructive toward the New Testament church or the church's leadership. And you say, God has spoken to my heart, and I've been challenged tonight. Would you let God see your hand? Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Oh, hey, if you've slipped into one of these categories, get it right, get it right, get it right. We need everybody. The God's army is, we don't have enough soldiers. We need everybody to help. And let's all just keep ourselves in submission to the Lord and to the Word of God. In a second, we're going to have an altar call. In a moment, Rachel's going to begin to play, and we're going to stand. And if you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you ought to come and pray for you or pray for someone. Maybe you have a need or a burden. The altar will be open. But I want us, first of all, Rachel, why don't you begin to play? Stand to your feet, if you will. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about this subject of destructive behavior that can hurt the church, be destructive toward the church program. We'll cover another 6 or 7 very simple, practical points. Things I've watched after all these dozens and dozens of years in the pastorate. Backslidden leaders, bitter people, position seekers, strong leaders that won't follow at the right time, church leaders who have become disloyal, people hopping around trying to find a church that fits them instead of them looking to fit the Word of God. The altar's open. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer sheets available. One more time, Rachel. Just go ahead and play it one more time for us.